All right. Thank you, folks. Good to see everyone today. We're glad you did get that clock right to get here. I suspect some didn't, but they'll never admit it, right? Anyway, I wish they'd fix it one way or the other and leave it. But government can't leave anything alone, amen? Even something like setting the clock right. But we're heading for a place where there won't be any imperfections, amen? We're not there yet. I hope most of you know that. All you got to do is just live a little while to know that. Well, this morning we'll go in the course to try to maybe possibly finish up the book of 2 John. We're going to start in about verse 7 here in just a little bit. But I received a letter sometime back from one of our college grads. He's been in Germany ministering over there now for a good long time. When he was with us, he was very good student, studious and studying and digging a little bit past the level of things. And so he's kept me informed time to time on some of the research he's had opportunity to do over in Europe and Germany, and especially Germany. In fact, that was pretty much his home was Germany. And been back there now, of course, several years. And he's got this letter addressed to Sister Michaud. Now, she's been secretary so long that a lot of these, especially these folks from commercial ends and other, they write to her. And they, you know, they figure she's probably got the ear of the preacher. But Moser Friedemann is his name. He knows her, knows us, of course, and so he knows that from time to time we correspond very little bit with him. Says, Sister Michaud, we heard from you today. Good to hear from you, so forth. I want to inform Pastor Carter about some of the findings. As I mentioned to him before, the Anabaptists, he's over there in an area where he can trace the early history of the church. We live in a day and time when among even Baptists, it's popular now to get rid of the name. To me, I think that's, somebody says, what would you be, preacher, if you weren't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. I'm mean about it because I know my heritage and I'm proud of it. And I don't want to deny it. And I wonder when somebody starts doing that, what else are they going to compromise on? But this letter here, I just hit it in brief. He sent me a little copy here of some old manuscripts, which you, of course, you can't read in the copy here. But he's gone back tracing history of the Baptist Church all the way back to the New Testament, to Jesus, to John the Baptist, where the name John the Baptist didn't start the Baptist Church. Truth was, he's not even a member of the church or the bride. He's the best man standing in the marriage supper later on when you study it out. But he's got several documents. Let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 here that he sent me some copies over. And it's really, really interesting. Folks, we have in our heritage, we have a lot of folks that gave their lives for what we take for granted today. To teach the truth, to open the Bible, and to believe what we believe. Now, it's coming under attack, and I'm going to get to a verse here in just a moment with that. But the attack today has been going on a long time. We'll find that John says here in verse 7, says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. All that God is for, the Antichrist is against. So the word anti there, we could talk a lot about that. But tracing our history back to the Anabaptists, back through the German Baptists, and he's talking about going to these places, these old buildings and anniversaries, and making some copies of this stuff. And you got just a little short note I thought I'd read to you. This is a copy here. I can't speak the German part of it, but one of their departments, the Duke of Whittington signs a decision about a 70-year-old widow who had to move around in order not to be caught for her Anabaptist beliefs. Now, we're talking about 1580. It's a long time before the King James Bible in 1611. This widow has to move about for her safety because of her Anabaptist beliefs. Now, you say, did people used to die for their beliefs? They're about to do it again. They're being imprisoned right now for their beliefs. Really? I'm rambling a little bit now, but allow me just a little leeway here. In the news recently, a Canadian high school student was kicked out of his school because he referred to a Bible verse, which would be Matthew chapter 19, which says where Jesus said, "Have you not read that God created them male and female?" He used that verse. They brought the police out, arrested him. Saw his picture on TV being arrested and hauled off to jail. Do you understand what I'm talking about? These days are repeating. Here was a widow woman having to run because the authorities knew she was attending secret Baptist meetings and what she believed. I'll read a little further. She was interrogated by the so-called theologians. And listen, the false church is always in cahoots with the false government. That's the way it winds up. That's what's building today. Interrogated by the theologians, pleaded not to cause her to violate her conscience. This was her plea. Don't make me violate my conscience of faith. So the decision they made states this. Since she probably will die soon anyway, and does no longer visit the secret Anabaptist meetings, she should be left alone for now. You say, oh, that was terrible. You need to catch up with some of the current stuff. Did you see where the airline stewardess for Southwest, been with them about 20 years, but she lost her job because she posted on Facebook that she was pro-life and against abortion? No, she wasn't going down the aisle of the plane harassing anybody or even telling them what she believed. She posted something on her position on Facebook, cost her a job. Now, it's in court, and I think she might win it in court, but what in the world have we moved to? Isn't this amazing? This verse here talks about, John warns, look out for deception. Look out that you be deceived. And then he says, oh, it's over Jesus. Who is Jesus? That's still what it's over right now. Right now in the world today. That's what all the sexual perversion talk and everything else is about right now. Have you actually seen where they're making a commercial on TV trying to use Jesus? Telling us he loved the folks that we're against. Yeah, he loved the whole world, but he didn't love their sin. And it's amazing how they're now trying to even take the name of Jesus and pervert it, what he said and what he taught. There's never been a better time in the world for you to know your Bible. Many deceivers out there like he's talking about right here. And the truth is, if you don't know the Bible, you will be deceived. I know a lot of folks that are saved, but they're deceived because they don't learn their Bible. They don't study the Bible. They hear a little bit here and there, and they think if somebody just mentions the Bible, it must be right. That's not true. You're told to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? And if you don't do that, you don't have a true yardstick to measure all the stuff that's coming at you. And it is coming at us. Yeah. We can do some good with the technology today, but the devil has won more with his technology than we have. And we better know the Word of God to measure everything else by it. This sex perversion thing that's on us is so terrible that it's here. A mother was arrested in Canada. She was arrested in the UK she was arrested. Somebody else was arrested in Canada, but she was arrested for stating her belief that homosexuality was wrong. And again, she used a Bible verse. This King James Bible is going to be outlawed if Jesus don't come soon, because it stands against what they're accepting today. Not only accepting it, but they don't even want to suspect you think they're wrong. It's amazing. Really amazing. Just the name of Jesus offending. All right, I'm trying to think where it was. Okay, here it was. They call it the Mall of America. It's up in Bloomington, Minnesota. It's supposed to be the biggest mall, I guess, in America or something. They actually had on the security camera, and it made the local TV a little bit. They made a man leave the mall or pull off his T-shirt. The T-shirt, the guard told him, was offending people. Let me tell you what the T-shirt said. It said, "Jesus saves." Isn't that amazing? A T-shirt. But see, this is the word. It's about who is Jesus. Where do you stand on him? See, this is it. So folks, we got to study the Word of God and understand about it. The homosexual movement, you read in the Old Testament where all the good kings fought that. We have a word today that still they don't like it, but it's a word that comes out of the Old Testament. It comes out of Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction by God. And it's the word sodomy today. Now that's in the King James, but it's not in the New International Version and some of these versions, because they're trying to make it all so homosexual friendly and making us wrong if we don't go along with that. And that's just so sad. So much stuff being done today, much of it is deception. You say, what do you mean deception? I mean to get you to believe something that's not true, to fool you good. And if they think you might object, they try to deceive you and hide it. This is not on scripture, but think with me a minute. How many of you would go maybe at night around a light bulb that's gathering the insects and put them in a bag and take them home and eat them? I would never do that. I'm looking at a bunch of folks that's already done that, including me. You didn't know that? Read your labels close on this food mixes that you're getting. There is a company called Cricket that's right now, it's been accepted big time in Europe and is already now being accepted in America. So they're grinding up the crickets, calling it bug dust. Hey, it's in the Sword of the Lord back there. How many of you read the Sword of the Lord back there? He's got some places in it. Look it up. Look it up there in the Sword of the Lord. It's being now legalized and accepted to mix the bug dust to increase the volume in pizza mixes. Oh boy, pizza. Cake mixes. You'd be surprised how much stuff this is in. Now, I'll make one little excuse. John the Baptist ate honey and locusts. So grasshoppers and crickets pretty close. Now, I'm not going to finish this book because I've already gone astray this morning. When I was graduating high school, it was 100 years ago, 1954. 1953, we had an exchange student come in from China, Mideast, or some Asiatic country. I don't remember exactly. And he was a good kid. We had a lot of fun with him because he was discovering America. All the stuff we have. But then we learned a few things from him. Right across in front of the high school, the house is still there, and it had a hedge at that time. What was the high school then? Not the one here now, but the building's over there. I think it's junior high now. And right there had a hedge across. And sometimes we'd all be around in that area. And I remember a bunch of the students laughing and giggling and talking with the exchange student. And he had spotted on that hedge in front of the house these great big, what we used to call Georgia thumper grasshoppers. You know what I'm talking about? Big ones, all colored up pretty. And he said, "That's candy. Let's get that candy off that hedge." That was part of his diet. If you could catch a grasshopper or a bug that big, he couldn't believe we didn't like them. Of course, we had a lot of fun off of that. But what's been coming over there now is being brought into America, the globalism, the internationalism. Everything's into one big glob now. And that's the Antichrist kingdom that this verse is talking about. The Antichrist will finally be revealed, and he'll have his kingdom. He's building it right now. It's growing by leaps and bounds. I thank God for our governor that's fighting this woke stuff. W-O-K-E. That's just a code word for all this ridiculous, stupid, idiotic stuff that's going on. Yeah. Teaching our kids in kindergarten they were born in the wrong body. And folks are losing their jobs today under this charge. Now, you watch it. It's going to come in the news. And our governor's fighting this stuff big. Thank God for him here in Florida. But one of the things that people are losing jobs over and being charged with is a charge of misgendering. M-I-S, gendering. You look like I thought you might be a man, so I called you a man, but really in your mind you're a woman, so I insulted you and offended you. And people are being charged with that. Misgendering. Isn't that amazing? The Pope, Pope Francis, just in the recent news, not long ago, came out contradicting all popes of his history on this issue of homosexuality. And he just come out saying, telling the priest and others to accept, respect, and honor the homosexuals. Now, I'm not, you say, you're anti-Catholic. No, I'm anti-sin. I'm anti-wrong. I'm anti what the Bible is. If the Bible's for it, I'm for it. If it's against it, I'm against it. And I'll just be honest with you, if my leadership of my church told me I was supposed to accept what God calls an abomination, and he does call it that, you read about it. Anyway, I'm meddling with it a little bit now, but the verse kind of opens the door right here. John says, look out for the deception. He said, this crowd that would deceive you, they're Antichrist. The kingdom that's being built now in opposition to God's church here on earth is the Antichrist kingdom. And of course, we've talked so much about it, I won't say too much more about it. But the truth is that people are being fired right now over even being suspected of thinking wrong. School teachers are walking on glass to not misgender a student. They got to watch and see if little Susie wants to be Billy today. Right? Who in the world would have ever thought that would have happened in America? You better pray for our pastor, Brother Parsons. He's been a couple of days this week in Tallahassee fighting. And this is the best state you could be in. Florida and Texas is standing up, and maybe Arkansas now that they've got a new governor and a few others that are really standing. But the truth of the matter is, it's a warfare right now. And right here in Tallahassee, you heard the preacher, I'm sure he'll talk about it some more. You better really pray about this, because our Christian school is old as it is, almost 50 years old. We fought battles through the years, and we were one of the forerunners here in Florida. That's why we have the freedom we've had on Christian education. But the devil never quits. And all the guise of doing good, even, they slip deception in it. And that's what he's warning here about being deceived. And the one that deceives, and it all comes right back down to Christ. You say, how could that be? Listen, what God is for, they are against. And openly against it more and more. That's what is going on. Deception is born of the devil. It finalizes in the Antichrist kingdom down here. And all the perversion and all that we're seeing going on and all the ridiculous stuff we could have believed never would have happened. People are being deceived to accept it. We've got courses now wanting to be offered as curriculum to raise our kids how not to offend anybody, how to understand and be careful. And then we've got, of course, money always gets into the evil side of things. We got big universities and hospital universities that are literally advertising and making great money off of surgeries to mutilate little boys and girls to make them the opposite sex. And I don't know if you caught it. It was a rerun in the news the other night. Late news, has been days old. But one of the congressmen was asking the questions of one of the perverts there on one of the investigations. And the woman was defending transgender stuff, the transgender crowd. And he said, the subject of can a man get pregnant came up. And this woman was saying yes. And the congressman said, no, we can't. She said, that means that you are endangering the transsexual crowd, transgender crowd, because you will make folks be offended at them. And boy, it was amazing, right? Highest level of government body in our country with a debate so absurd they think a man can get pregnant. They might open him up and put a baby in him, but they'll have to put it in first before they ever get it out. Amen. And they can pull some stupid stuff, but no. Had an excerpt on one of these transgender perverts, a man, bending over and pretending that he was having menstrual pains. An old country boy like me would give him some pain to bend over about. I just can't imagine that stuff. Can't. In America. But that's where we're at. So when you read the Bible here, it's really up to date. One verse here tells you what's coming. We're in it. We're in it. I was reading from Moser there in Germany. In the beginning, there was a real fight for the truth. That fight still goes on. The devil was real then. He's real now. He used every means he could. He's still using every means that he can. And our defense, folks, is the Word of God. You get all the stuff you want to off a line, but you better measure it by this. And if you don't know this, how are you going to measure it? And I've had people right in this building here come to me with some dumb questions. And I'd say, what does the Bible say about it? I don't care who you heard. I don't care what their credentials are. If it don't check with the Bible, it's wrong. Just wrong. That's all it is. And you're deceived. If you're going to take that and not check it out by the Bible, you're just a target. That's all you are. And your mind is a blank something for somebody to write their heresy on. Be careful about that. So let's look at the Bible here again, just a few minutes I've got left. He says, for many deceivers are entered in the world. So it just didn't start yesterday. We're going back here to the date of the book written here before AD 90. Probably the last book that John wrote before God gave him the book of Revelation, around AD 90. And John said, many deceivers are entered in the world. Certainly, Satan has run his counterfeit all the time that he could. And what do they do? Well, they confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus was not God, not incarnate, not God incarnate in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, he don't say the antichrist. He leaves it open that many will deserve this title of antichrist. If you've done any research in history, there has always, and Jesus warned us, he said the last days many false Christs would come. There's been many through history. They have increased. And they got names. I remember there was one down here in Miami out in the street with a crowd of people following him claiming he was Christ. That's not too many years ago. There's been some ridiculous stuff. I pastored here, this building, 50 years. Somebody says, have you ever seen somebody claiming to be Christ? I sure have. I remember one Monday morning after church on Sunday, came up to the door I normally come in, right here on the side of the door. My school principal was Brother David Fowler at that time. He was already at the door. There was a guy standing there with a long white robe on and a shepherd's staff and sandals and a big pigtail on his back. And he had been laying on the mat in front of the door. And Brother Fowler said to me, I've told this guy he had to leave. He won't leave. He said, I got the police coming. And the guy told me, he said, this is my church. I'm Jesus. I'm not lying a bit. Police got here and he literally came out of his billfold with a printed card like a salesman would, said his name was Jesus Christ. The police didn't believe it either. But they couldn't do nothing else, but they finally encouraged him to walk on down the road. Now, you say, no, that's just a nut. There's a lot of them nuts, and a lot of them are into high places, colleges and universities and government places, and just as much a fake as he was a fake, just as much deceived as he was deceived. I've had that happen more than one time. Some of you didn't even notice some things. Sometime it go on, but see, when you're sitting up here, you see it all. Some of you folks think you get Bible reading your cell phone when you're supposed to be reading your Bible, but you don't. We see you. And I can go on. You want me to meddle some more and tell you more about it, but I won't. But some of you are here in a service a couple of times, and when I would give the invitation, there'd be a guy and another guy or two that came with him would stand up on the back row, and they would have come in and hid under the pew a big shepherd's staff like they thought Moses carried. And when I'd start giving the invitation, they'd get that staff and they'd walk across the back like this, waving it. Naturally, I went to them after the service and said, what do you call yourself doing? Well, we're just helping you. I said, no, you're not. I said, you're welcome to come to church. You leave your staff outside and quit drawing attention to yourself. Some of y'all have seen me rebuke a few folks around here about some absurd stuff, and maybe you don't like it, but I do that. I can't now. I'm not the pastor, but I got some pull with the pastor. Amen. And I've seen some real stupid stuff go on. Some of you might have got a little peeved with me because I said it's not good to bring dogs into church. Amen. Help yourself. Amen. I ain't got nothing against dogs if they're in their place. I like a good dog outside catching a burglar or maybe a cat. All right, I'm tempted to josh around when I get on stuff like that. No, show some respect for the house of God. It's bad enough we got folks dressing like they were going to a bar instead of church today. God, oh, I could meddle on that, couldn't I? But the truth of the matter is, this is the house of God. It ought to have some respect to it. And we just, if we're not careful, we're going to be deceived into thinking and drop all standards and all convictions. And that's exactly the way liberalism and falsehood and evil comes in, is when we say this in a political sense, it's true, but all it takes to lose your freedom is for good men, not bad men, good men, to do nothing. That's right. When you quit standing, everything falls apart. That's right. Got off on that a little bit, except to say what we're seeing here comes under this thing of deception, comes under this thing of building the Antichrist kingdom. I was telling you some stories that things that happened that you might not know. Right back there, one day, a young man, fairly young, I'd say probably in his 20s, early 30s at the most, dressed nice, suit and tie on. He came and I'd seen him back there service a time or two. And so I'm shaking hands after the service. He come to me to introduce himself. Said, I want you to know who I am. He said, I'm one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. I said, well, good to meet you. Who's the other one? Well, I don't know, but I'm one of them. He was a little ahead of this transgender stuff. He thought if he thought it in his head, it was true. Right? No, we've had all that kind of stuff. Now, the church has had that from the beginning. That's why John's warning. He's an elder in the church. He's writing to a church here. We've already established that. And he's telling them to look out for deception. Look out for the Antichrist. Look out for them coming. And all through history, there's been those. But the ones that dress in a white robe and carry a staff, that's not the crowd you got to worry about. It's the crowd of deceivers in high places, perverting the Bible and perverting truth and trying to get into the curriculum to ruin our kids. And all that's the crowd. Listen, the devil is more likely to be behind a mahogany desk in a big university with a fellow that carries some weight than he is to be on the bar stool.
That's right.
Because he's going to be in the place he can do the most damage.
Yep.
And that's where he's at. And so the warning here to the church by John, John's later on, and I don't know, probably not much later, he's going to get the whole revelation on the Isle of Patmos. He's going to know a lot more than he knows now, but he already knows about the Antichrist. He'll know a lot more by the time he's received the vision of the book of Revelation. He'll know about his number and so forth. But right here, the early church, in contending for the faith, had to choose which way they would go. The Word of God is your guideline. It directs your path. It's everything. Everything else ought to be strained through, measured by, strained through of the Word of God. And I'm saying never has it been any more important, because there's more means to deceive today than there's ever been. I'm not going to meddle with you too much. I just want to say, how many of you could pick up your cell phone right now and find stuff a lot faster than you could if I asked you to find it in the Bible? Check that out. It could be true what you're getting over the cell phone, depending if somebody else measured it by the Bible before they gave it to you. I'm not against that. But if it don't, lay your cell phone down and get your book. That's the only true measuring stick you've got to go by. So John here is giving a warning. He's told us how to walk in love, and this is written to Christians and written to the church here. And then I'm going to move to verse 8. My time is going in about 2 minutes here. It says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought or gained, we would say, earned or lived by, but that we receive a full reward. Now, that's a powerful verse if you think about it. Look to yourselves that we lose not. What can a Christian lose? He can lose a lot of things. He can't lose his soul, because Jesus paid for that. You lose your fellowship with God. You can lose your truth to be deceived about a lot of things and still know that Christ is your Savior. Lose not those things which we have wrought. Have you ever seen somebody, known somebody, started out, got saved, started growing in the Lord, growing in grace, and attending church, and giving to the cause of Christ, to send the gospel around? Have you ever known somebody that made a great start, but they didn't finish well? We see that all the time, don't we? That's exactly in this verse right here. Lose not those things which we have wrought. What do you mean? I mean, it's sad, but some of God's folks that drop by the wayside, many of you know I had hot rod days in my early life, and some of the races that still stick in my mind on occasion are the ones I almost won but didn't. The ones I wrecked on the last lap, or the car blew up on the last lap. I'd earned to win the race. I led more laps than anybody else, maybe. But then I messed up before I crossed the finish line. How many folks are going to mess up, going to let the world entice them away, not as red hot for God as they used to be? Don't matter anymore what I believe. I used to have those convictions, but now look how the world's changed. Yeah, but truth hadn't changed. God's word hadn't changed. I don't want to stand before the judgment seat and find out, well, you did run well, but now. Paul warned the people at the church in Galatia. He warned them. He said, you did run well. Who doth now hinder you? Think on that one. You did run well, but who tripped you up? Who stopped you? Who deceived you? And then the rest of the verse, and I'll have to say some more about this next week, but that we receive a full reward. Now think on it. He said, don't trip up, so you'll receive a full reward. Does that mean then there's less than a full reward? Uh-huh. Less than what God intended for me to finish, but I tripped up before I got to the finish line, so my reward is not as full as it would have been. Not talking about your soul, not talking about salvation. Talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the judgment seat. Your wood, hay, and stubble, or your gold, silver, and precious stones. That's what he's talking about. So folks, even as old age gets some of us, and as aches and pains and all the rest of it, I may not can do all the things I could do for God, but I'm going to hold what I have done. I'm going to stand by it. And once in a while, we're seeing this. We're seeing, well, churches in particular used to stand, but now we got to reach the crowd. You're going to lose that full reward in many, many cases. Going to lose what you wrought. One of the things I'm thankful about here in the transition from one pastor to another, we're staying on the path. Amen. Same old gospel, same old Bible, same old truth. But we got to fight for that. The devil ain't going to take it easy. We got to keep fighting to finish like we started. Amen. Time's up, Brother Smith.